with Allstate. Allstate and affiliates offer products and services subject to availability, terms, and conditions.
The Dave Single from Wendy's, made with fresh, never frozen beef, has the power to blow your mind. But now that the Dave Single is buy one, get one for a buck, as well as the spicy or classic chicken sandwich and the spicy or crispy 10-piece nuggets, Wendy's BOGO for $1 deal is gonna blow your mind and your speakers. Get these faves. BOGO $1 only at Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career, working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Freddie Coleman.
I don't think he's going to make it in the next couple of minutes.
Ian Fitzsimmons.
I really don't think I'm going to make it through the night. I don't.
Are Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Oh, them.
More of a good thing.
He is the king of the reverse jinx.
Tom Brady had a chance to speak, and once again, he shows us he's that every man for you.
And greetings and salutations, brothers and sisters. He's Ian Fitzsimmons.
Cam Atkinson. Just hit the post!
I'm Freddie Coleman. We are
Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Practice 16 for your New Orleans Saints in the books.
Okay, I might have been off by 4 years with Aaron Rodgers. He's not 34, he's 30. He's 38 in December.
Thank you for interrupting me to tell everybody about the rest of the hour and stuff, but go ahead. What else would you like to know about Aaron Rodgers?
I was just updating everyone.
Oh, there we go. Thank you for the update.
He's 38
there. Yeah. Can we at least see how these two quarterbacks do first before we all in on Aaron Rodgers?
We'll give him a shot.
Really?
We'll throw him a bone.
After all, Matty already named Ian Book the starter next year. Much cheaper than Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
Much younger. Probably a better attitude.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more about that Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
Coming up this hour, Coach G. Talk a little soccer with us. We'll be doing that on Wednesdays, Jordan. APL kicked off. Certain American had a goal in his first game back over the weekend. Did you see what Hope Solo said about Megan Rapinoe? And did you see what Megan Rapinoe said the next day about that? Words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
Next segment, Scott Kushner. We'll give his thoughts on the Summer League Pels. I'm pumped up. I'm not alone, though, Jordan. Our question of the day has to do with your New Orleans Pelicans, and it is.
Yeah, the two questions of the day. The first one, like you're saying, Pelican fans, after going 5-0 in Summer League, how do you feel? There's four answers that you can select over on Twitter. Excited, races last season, still not convinced, a little of everything, leading the way at 52%. Excited. The other question of the day, Wednesday's DraftKings question of the day. What do you want to see from a position group or player Monday night as the Saints take on the Jacksonville Jaguars? Mm-hmm. You can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003 and Buddy will take your phone call.
Yeah. Again, I'm in. I have said, you know what, if I'm the Pels, or at least Willie Green, practice one before we start anything. Before we do installation, we're going to play a little pickup game, man. See what kind of shape you're in, right? See how you're playing. Just instincts here. Starting my Summer League Pels versus what we would think would be the starting five for the Pelicans, Jordan. Valanciunas, B.I. Zion, Graham and Naw versus the starting five we saw in Summer League. Go at it. Put 20 on the clock. Let's do it. Or two 10-minute halves. What do you want to do? However you want to do it, I don't care. Let's see it. Let's have some fun. So it's the kind of shape you're in. Let's just compete. Because I'm going to show you this is how we play. This is what we want to play, and this is how we played. So let's see.
You know, it'd be really bad.
If the Summer League Pels win. Well,
it would almost be reminiscent of the Olympics back when MJ? And
Yeah. Okay, but that, to my point, thank you for bringing that up, Jordan. When the Dream Team came to be.
It was like private practice.
Those practices were darn near playoff. No, they were playoff games of the 80s and 90s. It was brutal, huh? Like, they went after each other. That's my point. Establish that competition. We'll talk to Scott a little bit about that. I want to focus on your New Orleans Saints, though, here in the opening segment, as, yes, Practice 16 is in the books. And also, a couple transactions were made earlier today per head coach Sean Payton. The team signing receiver Kevin White, cornerback Natrell Jamerson, Brian Mills, another corner, offensive lineman Caleb Benoak. Is that what we're going to go with? Benoak?
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 Benoak.
Benoak. Either way, he was signed. The team waived receiver Jake Lampen, cornerback Lawrence Woods, offensive tackle Michael Brown went to waive with an injury designation, as did cornerback Adonis Alexander, waived with an injury designation as well. So we'll touch on some of that here as well. Saints receiver Traquan Smith, apparently a nice practice. Mike Triplett tweeting that he made several good catches today, returned to full team drills for the first time since his minor injury. Minor injury that would have kept him out almost 2 weeks, huh? Kept him out almost 2 weeks. So Mike joked that he must have been tired of hearing Marquez Callaway and Juwan Johnson getting all the buzz in camp. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Saw a couple of the shows that are on local television, specifically Fox Sports, Fox 8, after their sportscast, talking about who is the number one receiver in the Saints receiving corps right now, right? I think you kind of feel it's Marquez Callaway, don't you? Do you kind of feel that that's what the case is right now? So we play a little bit of what Sean thought about them here as well yesterday about Marquez Callaway. And, you know, his, I guess, rise or really steadiness that he's had going into it. So something else that I thought was interesting, Malcolm Jenkins yesterday after practice spoke specifically about this team and the leadership, the depth on the defense that I guess maybe surprises some people or not. Were you surprised at the way the defense played? Now, again, no Lamar Jackson. Their receivers are sort of hurt. Like a lot of their, you know, young receivers, starters, what have you. But were you surprised on how the Saints defense looked?
Well, I liked inside, like, I'll go full on Marlon Faith, right? I liked inside the trenches on both sides of the football for the Saints. I liked the O-line over on the offensive end, and I also liked the defense. I just did not expect Marcus Davenport. Like Larry said the other day, hey, he's supposed to be doing that against a player that, you know, is not a starter on the other team.
Right.
But it's something that he should be doing, and it's great to see him take advantage of those situations that he was in. And so just seeing that from the whole defensive line, them able to apply pressure to the quarterback and make the quarterback scramble, that's something that stood out to me in the first preseason game.
So Sean had to say on Davenport.
I thought he played well. I thought defensively we played well. I thought we handled some short fields. You know, field position wise, we started a couple times either on our end of the field or at midfield. But I think overall, you know, it was solid. I mean, we did a lot of things well defensively.
I think one of the things also that was interesting, we talked about it a lot yesterday with Matty about running backs. You would have thought that Saturday was a game that Latavius Murray could shine. He didn't. Devontae Freeman hasn't been here that long, but he also fumbled. I mean, I felt like most of the tweets I read happened to be from about Tony Jones. Don't you? I mean, I thought that was primarily one of the stars of the game. Peyton's thoughts after watching the tape.
Well, look, you're encouraged with some of the reps, but it's, you know, it's not a good night, though. In other words, it just can't be. And you know, runners that continuously fumble, there's an old saying, they're going to become someone else's runners. But I'm sure that he'll be able to, just as the others will, work on the security of the football. You know, all of a sudden you're in a game-like setting, and it's not the ball security in a four-minute drill or, you know, when you're at the end of a game where you get your second. It's, you know, how are you carrying the ball when it's just one hand, and the ability for all of those guys to understand that. And obviously you don't ever want to see that, but it's better seeing it in the preseason now, and that's got to be addressed. It's got to be improved.
Is that a line, huh? Running back fumbling is going to be fumbling for somebody else's team. Yikes. Look, I mean, that's something that stood out in that game. I mean, you literally didn't have a running back play in that game that didn't fumble. I'm going to go on a limb here and say that's probably one of the things you're going to look for on Monday. See a little bit better performance out of those running backs. I know you have Alvin Kamara. Football's a game you can get injured. So you need some depth at that position. You know what you have in 41. Even 41's going to have to come out a play or two to get a breather. We touched a little bit already on why people were saying, you know, David Onyemata, why would you play him if he's not going to? I know Jordan keeps bringing this up a little bit. Here's Sean as to why Onyemata played so much.
Look, I think we're deep enough, or we hope we're deep enough there. I think, look, his best position is obviously that of a three technique, and so some of that was just, you know, us in that game based on our numbers.
What was interesting was Malcolm Jenkins was touching a little bit on the fact that Ed Daniels actually asked the question, how hard is it going to be to overcome not having Onyemata for 6 weeks? And Jenkins' response was,
well, I wouldn't pretend to it an incredibly difficult, you know, void to fill. I think Onyemata is obviously a huge part of what we do in the run, and super productive. And you can't necessarily replace what he does. But when we look at who's coming in after him, who's going to fill those voids, I don't think we're worried about what that looks like. Obviously, we're better with him on the field. But I think we'll be fine.
Interesting that he thinks that they're going to be fine on there from that aspect of it. One of the other things that Malcolm Jenkins touched on yesterday was the versatility and depth at cornerback and safety. I know Larry touched on that on Monday. A couple other people did yesterday as well in talking about the team.
No, I think usually that's a position, you know, you rely on a couple guys that can play a few positions to kind of fill that void. But No, I think we feel good at that spot, you know, probably two and three deep, with some guys like Ducey and myself who can play your nickel, play your dime, even P.J. Williams being able to play some different positions. Even Bryce Young safety playing corner. And, you know, so we got some versatility, which always adds depth because injuries, you know, are going to happen. Things are going to happen. So I think that's something that's been encouraging to see. Not only the guys at safety, but being able to learn different positions.
So I think that's interesting. About the different versatile players that they have, and they can play at different positions. So you hear him kind of touch on that. And look, I think at this point, too, I know a lot of people were saying go sign some different corners and things of that nature. I keep thinking right now, I said it yesterday with Manny, I think it's going to be Crawley and Adebo, you know, to kind of go on it. So his thoughts on Adebo first.
Well, he doesn't look like he's rusty at all. You know, you see normal things with rookies just trying to get used to some of the concepts, but his natural ability pops off of the tape. His recovery, his ability to close on the ball is something that's really special. And so, the biggest thing is cleaning up his footwork at the line of scrimmage, which will come with time. But I think he's been impressive to see him come in and be where he is as a rookie. Like I said, I think he's going to play some quality snaps for us this year.
As for Ken Crawley, Malcolm Jenkins?
Yeah, I think, you know, with anything, when you have opportunity or real opportunity, you see your, you know, a chance to play, all of a sudden you have a little bit more pep in your step. You got a little bit different demeanor and approach to the game. And I think, you know, in his mind, he sees an opportunity for him to be a starter in his league where, you know, he's been a role player up until this point. And so I think you've seen it. He's had a phenomenal camp, has been very productive on the ball, hadn't given up many plays, been competitive with the first group, doesn't make mistakes. So I think that's what you want to see. And obviously we're going to be leaning on him. He's competing for a starting spot right now, but regardless, we'll probably be leaning on him at some point in the early part of the season.
So look, he's had a very good camp, right? So let's see what happens. Don't forget, folks, football, regular season's almost here. No better place than to get in with the action with DraftKings. They are the leader in one-day fantasy sports. So go download the app. Use the code LaRose, and you can play for your free shot at $1 million during week one. It's simple. You know how this works already. I've been telling you. You're going to set up your lineup. There's a salary attached to each player. Stay under the salary cap. Press play. Watch the points pile up, and you can win cash prizes. It's literally that simple. And if you want to kind of work on your craft a little bit before the regular season comes, go check out the DraftKings free-to-play pools where there's even more cash up for grabs. So head to the app now, download it, the DraftKings app. Use the code LaRose for a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Scott Kushner next on ESPN New Orleans.
Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber. Wednesday's DraftKings question of the day. What do you want to see from a position group or player Monday night as the Saints take on the Jacksonville Jaguars? You can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter. At ESPN Radio NOLA, and call in 800-998-1003. The other question of the day is a poll question. Pelicans fans, after going 5-0 in the summer league, how do you feel? Excited, erases last season, still not convinced, or a little of everything, and still leading the way at 52% is excited.
I like that. Scott Kushner joins us now to talk a little bit about Pelicans basketball here. Scott is a Pelicans and NBA columnist for the Picayune and Advocate at Scott D. Kushner. It's a way to follow on Twitter. Scott, how are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing all right, Gustavo. Just working away. How's everything going with you?
I'm trying to control myself. I really am. I'm not going to lie to you. I have a suggestion for Willie Green, which I'll get to in a second. But I'll ask you this, because that's what we've been asking during the show. What is your one takeaway of five games and watching summer league ball from the Pelicans, what's the biggest takeaway for you?
That Trey Murphy is not a bust. I think that much we kind of have a pretty good grip on at this point. That he's a first round pick. Sometimes at the end of summer league, you're like, ooh, I wonder how that's going to pan out over time. I don't think we have those questions with Murphy. Not to say he's going to be a starter, an all-star, anything, really. But he's obviously someone who is capable of playing at this level. I do think that is important. I think that is probably the most important thing they needed from this week. And I think more than anything, he was playing a role that he will play in the NBA. Like, Najee Marshall had the ball in his hands a lot. Phoebe Luzada was getting pick and rolls for him. Like, those things are not going to happen in a regular NBA game.
Right.
What Trey Murphy was doing was very much, you know, spot up shooting, defending long wings, like, finding his way to open shots. Like, he was doing a lot of the stuff he will be asked to do come October, and I think that was really important.
I did call for Trey Murphy to be a starter this week, didn't I, Jordan? I have suggestions for Willie Green. I'm excited by certain things I did. And Scott, one of the reasons why is, you may have heard of him, David Griffin. He did say that one of the things he wanted coming into the season, basketball IQ, shooting toughness. You saw that with Trey Murphy. So I'm all in to see if he can try to win one of those spots. It's positionless basketball. Ali Kosel joined us in hour one. He's like, hey, maybe move B.I., because it's been talked about in the past to the two, Trey Murphy at the three. You can sort of do that from that issue. Look, the other guys are not going to get starting minutes or even play that many minutes. But what I did like is Willie Green coaching a good group of guys that are going to be on this roster that are, Scott, going to come off the bench and are going to provide needed minutes if people get injured. And I think it was good to kind of see them buy in.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, especially for this team, because they went so long without having a draft pick. Summer league, people would get excited about it just because there's not much to talk about, you know, the time of the year that it's going. But for the most part, it was a bunch of guys who were undrafted, a bunch of guys who really weren't on the roster, and they were just sort of, you know, throw-ins that were put together like almost like a replacement-level team at the start of summer league. That is not the case this year. This year was very different. Not only did they have a first round and a second round pick, but they also had three guys who will almost certainly be on the roster next year in Najee Marshall and Didi Luzada and Kyra Lewis. And so these are, like, it was important to watch them play. These guys are actually members of the Pelicans. So it did kind of give a much bigger glimpse, and it was way more indicative of what you're going to see from the team. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just guys like that big center dude who stinks, like, you know, be like, all right, whatever. Then we're going to see that guy for 2 weeks, and then we're never going to hear from him again. That was not the case with this team. This team was the actual Pelican Summer League team, not right. just a collection of guys wearing Pelicans jerseys.
That's a very good point to put it. Speaking with Scott Kushner, Pels, an NBA columnist for the Picayune and Advocate at Scott D. Kushner on Twitter. Scott, we got to focus on the players because that's obviously the important part here, right? I mean, we've always said that. There's a lot of hope from Saints fans that the Saints will win despite not having, you know, some starters and people that they know because of Sean Payton. He went 7-9 when it didn't have good players. Bill Belichick did make the playoffs last year, and he's a multi-Super Bowl winner. So you're a better coach with better players. At the same time, though, I want to focus a little bit on Willie. I know a lot of it is just, you know, his post-game pressers. He was mic'd up in some of these games, but you got to get a feel of what he will be like. What was your takeaway in five games of Willie Green?
I think he fits. I understand why you'd go from Stan Van Gundy to Willie Green. I'll put it that way. All the things that you didn't see from Stan, which was players speaking really fondly of him, a level of patience, a level of, you know, just kind of stoicism, I guess, on the bench. Not freaking out, not running guys in and out of the game based on, you know, a single mistake. All those things, you know, and again, that's not to question Stan Van Gundy as a coach. Like, Stan Van Gundy is a brilliant coach, but his people skills certainly were not meshing with that roster last year. And it was very obvious very early on. And this, I think, is a very natural move in the other direction. The same way that going from Alvin to Stan, made sense if you were like, well, this failed because Alvin was way too, you know, light on everybody, and Stan, so you know, want to go the other direction. Right. This is kind of doing it in a different way. So I think Willie Green is kind of a nice medium. The way that the players responded to him was very obvious. They're playing hard in summer league. Guys with guaranteed NBA contracts were playing hard in summer league and playing every game. All that stuff matters. So, you know, is it? Are they going to the NBA finals? No. But at the same time, I think you'd be crazy to not at least expect an improvement from the bench this year.
I think it also is important, Scott, as you brought up, when you would hear post game guys like Trey Murphy, you know, saying, I want to prove to coach that I'm coachable. I love his play calling. We either get a free throw out of it or points out of his after timeout plays, which I'm sure every Pels fan, you included, that covered the team went, imagine that, being able to successfully come out of a timeout with a play.
Yeah.
So young players, veteran players, specifically given reasons, like you just said, of a Willie Green sort of thing. And I guess the reason I'm focusing on this is because, Scott, you could probably almost look at it as he's just there, you know, like, go out there, Jordan, go try and score because he just kind of wants to get to know it. No, he was legit coaching, and I love what he said yesterday at the end of the game on a championship mentality, that they want to win at everything, that they're establishing that culture now, and I love that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to play, what's the point? You know, like, if you're going to go out there and play with a bunch of guys that are going to be on your roster, why screw around? You know, like, go out and try to win. Like, you're there. You got to be there. You're going to play the game to keep score. Go win. So I think that was, you know, a natural response, a logical response, a good way to go about it. I definitely have watched a lot of Pelicans teams, you know, play hard for like, or really actually care for about two games and then kind of give up the last two or three, which, right. You know, it's summer league, who cares, it's fine. But it also is like, hey, you're going to be there and you're going to have five guys who are going to make your roster that are out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go out and win. You're probably more talented than the other teams. There's no excuse. Like, just try to go out and win, and they did. So I would have been interesting in the tournament format to see how they would have done, because the tournament can kind of wear on you after a while. I'm like, mm-hmm. If we win, we have to stay. So that is that was not the case this time around. There was no incentive to lose at all. So, it made sense. And I think to come away, I don't know how you can come away with anything negative from this summer league experience, with maybe the exception of, like, maybe Kyra Lewis is not quite as close as people were hoping he would be.
I agree with you. And I think one of the reasons that we were talking about early in the show, again, my suggestion for Willie Green is day one of practice for training camp, which, Scott, is about 5-6 Mondays from today, I think.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. Look, because of what we saw, because of the quick buy-in and the style that he wants to play, I could totally see this. I would love to see this if I'm Willie Green. Come out, everybody in center court, be like, hey, it's awesome. I'm Willie. Is this what we're going to do? Before we get into installation, all that, put 10 minutes on the clock, 20 minutes on the clock. Summer League Pels, you're my starters. The other five guys, which I think would be like Valanciunas, B.I., Zion, Graham, and Nah. Let's go. Beat them. Like, establish the competition there. Show me, you know, that you can play the style that we're going to play. These five guys know how to do it. Go ahead and beat them. I would just love to have that sort of mentality and competition already from the get-go. Earn that you're going to be the starter. And you're going to start if you play defense, if you pass the basketball, and you have basketball IQ.
They certainly, that's his biggest challenge, right? His biggest challenge is instilling a level of pride and professionalism for 82 games a year. That's a really hard, it's easy to say. Like, we all show up to work, and some days we do worse than others. And it's not as if it's unnatural. But that is definitely Willie Green's biggest job. And it's a job that Sam Van Gundy, frankly, failed at. So often this team, I mean, how many games in a row did they allow 40 points in the first quarter?
Yeah.
You know, just like falling asleep defensively because they didn't care, because it was just another game and another empty building and they're going to probably lose. You know, like, and then, of course, everybody talks about them falling apart in the fourth quarter as often as they did. But really, it was the fact that they were asleep defensively to start a lot of games. So that professionalism, that pride, that ability to walk into a game and take it seriously, for guys who are making, you know, a lot of money, is challenging, and they have a lot to prove. And, yeah, you need to light a fire somehow. I don't know the exact best way to do that, but certainly Stan Van Gundy failed at it, and that's the reason he's not the coach, and that's what Willie Green is kind of being charged with. And I think he will do a better job, whether or not he will do a great job. I think he will certainly do a better job at laying that foundation, at least trying to understand what coaxes these guys into playing hard, whereas I don't think there was really any interest in that last year.
Final thing for you, sir. Why even bother, I guess, do this? Because as you've seen, it's the Lakers and the Nets, right? It's the Lakers and the Nets. Why play the rest of the season? LeBron's begging us to keep the same energy once the season starts, calling them old. What do you think overall of the offseason? I haven't had a chance to talk to you. We've had free agency. We've had draft. We've had trades. We've done all of that. What do you think overall? It was fun last year. It was competitive. The play-in situation is back again this year. I'm glad David Silver and them got it to go. I'm kind of excited to see this. I mean, a healthy Warriors team. Maybe the Nets play more than 5-6 games with those three guys. I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, I think the league is in an interesting spot. Certainly the Nets, just paying outrageous amounts of luxury tax and getting these guys, the Lakers. But, I think we would have said the same thing last year. I think we would have said it's Nets and Lakers and everybody else is kind of trying for the rest. And that didn't. Neither of them were even in the conference finals. So it's, neither of them were in the finals. So it's not as if it's some sort of fait accompli. Certainly, if those teams stay healthy, they'll be good. But the league is in an interesting spot. I think the Pelicans are in a really interesting place where, they can improve without being a contender. They can be a playoff team without kind of cracking into that conversation yet, and which allows them some room for growth, which is kind of the best place to be when you're in the NBA, is kind of climbing the ladder. But if they flop like they did last year, they're completely irrelevant in the NBA, and that is not the place where you want to be.
Indeed. We saw the national televised game schedule come out, at least in, Christmas Day and stuff like that. It's not the 25 you had, but you know what? You got to earn that. Got to earn that, Scott. So
yeah, for sure.
We'll see. And quite honestly, that's why I want to have you on as we get closer to camp, too. We need to see a big jump and leap from Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram in the leadership and maturity department and growing, and especially on defense. If not, it doesn't matter who you put around them. Those two guys have got to be the catalyst that takes this franchise to the next step.
No question. No question at all. The growth of this team will have to come internally. They swung and missed way too often in free agency, and so this is where they're at. They got to get better from the guys they already have there.
At Scott D. Kushner, the way to follow. Pelicans, NBA columnist for the Picayune and the Advocate. Always appreciate the time. Have a good week, man.
All right. See you, Goose.
There he goes. Quick break. We come back. Coach G. Jordan. We'll talk a little soccer. And then at 1:45, you'll hear from head coach Sean Payton after practice on ESPN New Orleans.
Spicy chicken nugs. We didn't say Wendy's, but you probably thought Wendy's, and you thought right. With a unique blend of spices, these are the spicy nugs that other spicy nugs wish they were. And with Wendy's new Ghost Pepper Ranch sauce, you'll reach new levels of spicy. So you're probably thinking, where's the closest Wendy's? Get the only 6-piece spicy nuggets worthy of their name for free with purchase in the Wendy's app.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's offer must be redeemed via the Wendy's app. App download and account registration required. Not valid with other offers. See offer and app for additional terms.
This is Stacy on her motorcycle.
What an incredible view!
And this is Stacy off her motorcycle.
Does this have sucralose in it?
On her motorcycle.
Oh, the wind in my hair!
Off her motorcycle.
It's pronounced et cetera, not et cetera.
On.
Woohoo! Yes!
Off.
No.
You're better on your bike. And with basic policy starting at $75 a year, quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, Senior Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Mindula Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply. She says, I love that feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, it helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It's Wednesday, bottom of the hour, and hour number two, which means Pat Gigantieri will join us. Talk a little soccer. Coach G is how we like to refer to him. How are you, sir, today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Played my second game down here in New Orleans and Body Soul Store, but I love it, man. Soccer's in my blood.
So you did it last week. You guys won, right?
Correct, sir.
All right. How do y'all how'd y'all do this second game?
Yeah, the rain and, you know, yeah. So moving on. Yeah, we didn't do so well. It was 4-3 loss. It was just wet. It was slippery. One of my guys got injured, so we were down a man. Didn't really have a lot of subs, so that's soccer for you.
I got you. Just as long as you don't have a Hope Solo, you know, Megan Rapinoe situation going on here. Look, Coach, I want to touch on it because, let's be honest, it's one of the more popular teams in the world, and especially here, actually, Americans know the names of many of the national soccer team players. They didn't perform to their capability, I think, is what a lot of people sort of feel in the Olympics. For some reason, they just looked off. Coach G, you said it. Several other people that follow soccer said the same thing. For some reason, they looked off. I had heard rumblings, other people that know people in Team USA or, you know, the federation stuff. I'd heard rumblings that maybe not everybody was as together as it seemed to be. And Hope Solo came out earlier this week and said something pretty interesting, that Megan Rapinoe basically was bullying teammates to kind of do things that she did, whether her political views, her stances, the kneeling and things of that nature. And the next day, Megan Rapinoe comes out in an interview with ESPN and says, I may be thinking about retiring. I don't know what my future. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, and we see that across all sports, how one person can really throw off the locker room. And hearing all of this stuff, again, we go back to the Olympics. Like, there's something off. So was she the person in the locker room to run her mouth, getting on these girls' cases, I'm sorry, women's cases, about being a political activist or saying, hey, this is what you should be doing for soccer to bring it up? Hearing all this and hearing, people retiring and, kind of maybe just quitting soccer altogether, now I think we're about to hear actually what's coming out after the Olympics. I'm sorry. It's just kind of bad and kind of awful that they have an opportunity to do very well in this huge tournament, and one person can maybe ruin it for a bunch of younger people. And I hope this is not a carryover to the next tournament and moving on forward. And again, I was kind of hoping that the coach would actually kind of step in and do something about it. It seemed like he was just kind of playing like back fiddle, let the team kind of do what they have to do. Whereas a coach, I think he should have kind of maybe stepped in, maybe a little more authoritative. But yeah, it sounds like maybe she was the issue for the last year and a half. We'll see what's moving forward, but kind of hope she does retire for the team. As a soccer activist, yes, do what you got to do. But for the team and winning trophies and just for the longevity of younger stud players to see how their careers can go, and hopefully this doesn't really derail it.
And that's why I bring this up, because Coach G, I mean, it was almost unique, really, when you think of the last several years, the last World Cup, the movement, the lawsuit against the U.S. to try to get equal pay, all those different things. And again, just what people have told me, it felt like they've gone from rooting for them to, all right, already, now what is your issue? And fair or not, but it did seem like every time they're on TV, it was less about soccer, more and more. Yep. Now, granted, not to say that those issues aren't merited, right? I mean, obviously, being paid fairly, being treated a certain way, being seen a certain way, those are all fair arguments, but it did seem and feel, and then you add to the way the rest of the world reacted to the way they celebrated when it would score a goal in the, you know, the World Cup of past. It almost seems like, I dare say, they almost need an image change.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm kind of glad that this kind of shook our world a little bit. Maybe hopefully knock us down to size. You know, when I'm not a big, huge fan, especially when we played a team that were winning almost like double digits, and they're celebrating, you know, drinking tea and stuff like that. They're like, they're making fun of the other team. It kind of is classless. And, you know, every time you see them on media sources, that's all they're saying is the same stuff over and over again, and it's taken away from the actual sport itself. You know, in the grassroots here, men's and on the women's side, we're trying to continuously grow and grow and grow. And these young girls and young boys look at these national team members as their heroes, as what they're trying to inspire to. So when you kind of see this, it loses for the female side. It kind of loses its luster. It kind of loses its, like, draw of the actual soccer game itself and the team. We're now to be more individualized. So it'd be interesting to see moving forward what's going on, but it seems like their focus is a little different. The world looked at us a little bit differently, not as champions, but more as kind of smug, kind of like, ooh, who are these people again? What are they going to complain about? I hope this isn't a tarnish on us. But I think moving forward, they need a completely different change of the team, a new change of the world, too.
Coach G, Pat Gigantari joins us every Wednesday. We talk a little soccer. EP, I'll know you were excited. English Premier League was kicking off this past weekend. It did. I text you before you even got to text me. I was like, whoa, yes, did you see what happened? What was it, Saturday morning? Goal! Chelsea, I'm debating. Do I get a U.S. jersey? Do I get a Chelsea jersey, a Dortmund jersey? I need to pick which jersey to get for Carver, my four-year-old, to start following. But how big was it that Christian Pulisic scored in the first game for Chelsea?
Huge. You know, as of right now, I have him scoring at least 10 goals and 10 assists for Chelsea. He's a very smart player. He's only 5'8", 139, 140, something like that. But he scored in the 40th minute. And if you actually watch the video of the game, you see him just running at the right time, getting the rebound, and he's such a smart player. He just put it back in the old onion net, old onion bag. He's very, very smart, and we need that for our national team to have that kind of IQ player to bring us up to the next level. You talk about Gio Reyna, you know, on Dortmund, but don't forget about Sergino Des on Barcelona. And talk about the EPL, Josh Sargent just got signed by Norwich City, so we get to see him play a little bit more throughout the EPL. I'm kind of an EPL kind of guy. But don't forget about Weston McKennie on Juve. So we have a lot of great players all throughout different leagues. Oh, I think Reggie Cannon just got signed by Nottingham Forest yesterday, trying to get signed by them, and he's a great defender. So they're slowly getting into the EPL, so we can watch him a little bit more. But I think with Pulisic and the promise and the thing that he's showed so far, he's going to draw other Americans to that league. So it's kind of tough to say which kind of uniform you want to buy, a Dortmund or a Barcelona or a Norwich. But Christian Pulisic, I would say, is probably one of the safest kind of bets that you can buy for his uniform. I think the upside and what they just signed for Chelsea, signed Lukaku, Christian Pulisic is going to play perfectly with them in that system. He's definitely a run-off-the-ball kind of guy where Lukaku can hold the ball at his feet, take the brutal, like the punishment of the defenders hitting him, to dish the ball up to a sprinting, faster than all heck Pulisic to score against their opponent. So Chelsea is going to be very fierce. And yeah, I was very excited to see the EPL, especially my Arsenal, hopefully winning against a team that hasn't played in the EPL in 74 years. But Friday morning, got some upsetting news that both the Lacazette and Aubameyang were out, and we actually lost to Brentford 2-0. So of all the safest bets that you're going to be gambling would be the Brentford-Arsenal game last Friday, because Brentford coming up with all the adrenaline rush, great to see that the fans were back in the stadiums to full capacity, and you can hear them chanting, you can hear them singing. It was cool. At the end of the game, they showed a stand in the stands, an older gentleman, and he was crying and crying. You can tell the love and the passion that these fans have for it. So to say that Arsenal was going to beat Brentford on paper, yes, but in reality, we saw it completely different. But yeah, it's really good to see the EPL coming back. You know, now moving forward, we have the Serie A. We're going to have Juve. We're going to have Inter. We have all these other teams, and all the other leagues are beginning right around the corner. But yeah, I'm very excited that the EPL is back, and you know, even moving forward to see like Man U and see what they've done against Leeds last week, putting up 5 goals on them. see how they respond to Southampton coming up. And I, you know, Man City losing to Tottenham, really two good teams, but looking at the table and seeing actually Man City 13th, they're the champions. So it's kind of, you know, again, it's day one, game one of the entire season, but I'm just excited to see it back. I'm glad I can wake up Saturday mornings and put the TV on, you know, super early, but I am so happy that soccer is back.
I hear you, man. We can hear your voice for sure, man. Looking forward to talking again next Wednesday. Pat Sheik on Terry. Coach G's the way we like to chat with them here. Sir, we'll talk again soon.
Have a great day, guys. Talk to you later.
There we go. It's a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear from head coach Sean Payton, plus the newest member of the Saints receiving corps. Got him as well. Who's that?
Kevin White.
Yeah, he was a former first rounder by the Bears.
Then he was with San Fran.
Yeah, he's looking for his first touchdown in the NFL. Seventh overall. In the first round. Saints also signing a former draft pick of themselves from back in the 2018 draft. We'll hit on all of that and more. The Kraft top of the hour to give us his report. He was at practice. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN in New Orleans.
The Toyota National Sales Event is going on now at Greg LeBlanc. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma.
Through the end of the month.
And they're ready. The deals are red hot.
Red hot.
With loads of fresh new Toyotas arriving daily. Plus, they have over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Greg LeBlanc Toyota is getting top dollar for trades. Remember, the Toyota National Sales Event is going on now till the end of the month. Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com. Or at the store. Greg's got the deals.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at josepsic@viscom.net.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
State Farm offers surprisingly great rates on auto insurance, but what does that mean? Surprising. This often means something comes out of nowhere, like finding that $20 bill in your dryer. Great? Well, obviously great means superior. Rates? Simply what one pays in exchange for something. And in this case, that something is State Farm being there when you need them most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios in Cutoff.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengat.
You hear the music. Maybe you're pumped up or not. You know what else will pump you up? How about winning some money? Join, it's legal. Even you can do it now. It's real simple. Go to the App Store, download the DraftKings app. Do it now. And when you do so, put in that code LaRose to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. With that first deposit, that's the code LaRose. DraftKings, the app, it's easy. How DraftKings works, it's daily fantasy. You love fantasy football. You love fantasy sports. Jordan, you're going to, once again, be our commissioner, right?
I will.
Say that again, sorry.
I am. Okay. I'm going to be setting it up this week.
This?
Yes.
All right.
Depends on what you want to do. Do you want to do two leagues? Because I know sometimes people are upset that they're not in your league.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be in your league. And
well, I mean, do you want to do like the NFL, like 32 teams? That's a lot. Exactly.
Can you do 32? I think you,
I don't know.
Most is like
my point is, the reason we split it is so you can actually have decent players.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. While you can't win anything in our league, I mean, not like thousands of dollars. Like we might, do you have any of the shirts left? You still have the Pelicans shirt from draft night, huh? Or something like that?
I think the shirts are,
because that would make sense to give away a Pelicans, you know, t-shirt for an NFL fantasy football thing. We'll find something. There's a pen, a Sharpie here or something. You know, we got like an old, what is that, media guide, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll give you a Saints media guide. It will.
Maybe I'll give you a sticky note.
We'll give you a sticky note. Bottom line, DraftKings is the place where you can actually win millions of dollars in prizes. So go download the app. It's super simple. Pick your lineup. Stay under the salary cap. See how you do against the rest of the competition, and you get a free shot at huge cash prizes. DraftKings, download the app. Plus, to get better for the regular season, they do have a free-to-play pools to kind of, you know, work on your strategy and stuff. So there's stuff that you can use your money to try to win more, and there's some free stuff as well. So just download the app, sign in, log in, use the code LaRose, and you'll get what I'm getting at. All right, so head coach Sean Payton spoke after practice. What I like to do, obviously, is just to hand-select people that are allowed in practices when they go indoors. By the way, the team has moved the rest of the practice indoors, so if you have a ticket for going outside and you're one of those fans, I would have the sounder ready for you. If you are a fan and you would like to go see Saints practice, I have bad news for you. Yeah, the team is in the and training camp ends, quote unquote, this week. So, Jordan, if you would like to see Saints have practice, well, you're
out of luck.
As far as media members, like four people can go inside. I mean, I'm just telling you, I mean, it's a select few. So that's why I read their tweets, because they were actually there. Mike Triplett said Traquan Smith had a very good day. Several solid catches, Jordan. So does he get a stinger? He gets one, right? Traquan Smith, first day of full contact.
Stinger.
Sure. On the other end, Sean Fazan gave a report on the quarterbacks. Kind of a big deal, possession. And look, this is just where we are because it's a quarterback competition. So fair or not fair, we will over-evaluate how they do. One quarterback has been doing very well in red zone, right? Jameis Winston, Sean Fazan. Winston picked off by Poole today during red zone. Not to be outdone, Taysom Hill was intercepted as well by Marcus Williams.
In the red zone?
In the red zone.
Oh, no! We suck again!
That said, here we go. You ready? Oh, my gosh. If she's listening right now, you will know. Because your phone will go off and my phone will go off instantaneously after I say the following. The lone touchdown pass thrown.
Oh, my.
And red zone drill. Ian Book. To wide receiver Kevin White, who literally just got here today.
Yeah, just landed.
All right, she said it yesterday. Your starting quarterback for the 2022 New Orleans Saints,
Ian Book.
Ian Book. He's the only one throwing touchdown passes in red zones. Ian Book.
Oh, come on, I could throw a touchdown in the red zone.
Could you?
I could.
Could you?
Probably not.
Jameis Winston got picked. Taysom Hill got picked. Oh, but not Ian Book. You know what? We need to develop a new sound. We need to get the Notre Dame sounder.
Oh, the Fighting Irish.
Yes, I'll do that tonight.
I could do it right now.
Yeah, give me a little something
tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. You're busy. You're a busy, busy bee. Including you cut up head coach Sean Payton for us. So, he went through the list of all of the transactions today. It was a lengthy one.
Back Ryan Mills, receiver Kevin White, defensive back Natrell Jamerson, tackle Jordan Mills, offensive lineman Caleb Beninock. We've waived injured Adonis Alexander, offensive lineman Michael Brown, and then we've just waived wide receiver Jake Lampman and defensive back Lawrence Woods. That puts us right at our 85-point.
All right, there you go. And as we get closer to the Jags-Saints game on Monday night, time for an install.
So today's install was additional heavier personnel on first and second down. So some of it was eyeball formations, but a lot of three tight end, two tight end fullback offense. But still first and second down, and then there's some additional pass and run schemes that went in. We got a lot of red zone work, third down work, and then, you know, we just got to keep grinding on the 2-minute end of half and end of game situations.
There we go. Trying to grind on that 2 minute again. Winston Hill both pick Ian Book, ladies and gentlemen, with the lone touchdown. It came to Kevin White, who literally just got here. Just got here. Probably doesn't know the entire building just yet, right? You think he has his code access yet? Somebody probably had to let him in the building, huh?
Access denied.
Yeah, access denied. We had to do that for Drew, remember? Although he's managed to stay away, that we know of. I don't know. Jordan, how do you think Maddie would react if she found out that Drew Brees met with Ian Book to help him on the offense? She's convinced. I mean, he's the clone of Drew Brees, by the way. Anyway, back to Kevin White, who just got here, caught a touchdown pass today. Coach, on why the signing.
Look, size, speed, he's young, and, you know, he's someone we'd like to work with. You know, I like the way he runs. You see it on tape, and obviously he's a former first-round pick, so he's still a younger player.
It's incredible. Seventh overall first-round pick, so there was some promise there, no doubt for sure, back in 2015. Sean was asked this. Does he think he's more hands-on this year in terms of either practice, just – and when you see him at practice, look, he's always, you know, giving tips and pointers and stuff. I don't know if I've seen him do it any more than in recent years, but apparently some have enough to merit the question.
No, there's some days where it might be just something that I want to do relative to a position. I think all of us, you know, all of us, our jobs are to coach and teach, and we all embrace that. And so sometimes, you know, we'll have a tight end working with the O-line because of the technique, or vice versa. You know, we'll have the tackles with a tight end coach. So there's some cross teaching, and as the head coach, you're trying to pay attention to everyone.
Okay, look, Kevin White again. I looked him up. He was a first-round pick, seventh overall, but you're looking at a category of touchdowns, and Jordan, it's zeros. So he was asked about being able to live up to perhaps those expectations. I mean, you would think, right, Jordan, if you're a first-round pick at receiver, you
might have a couple.
Probably should have a touchdown.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. Just because I feel like I had the right mindset, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't plan out. But can't hang my head. Sometimes I ask why, but I just got to keep going. And until the time comes, I'll go hard and do what I'm capable of.
For whatever reason, there it is. Well, his time in New Orleans is already up.
Stop. He's already done?
Yep, let's get back on the plane. For whatever reason.
He did utter the dreaded phrase, for whatever reason. That's never good.
Never.
What do we always say?
Get back on the plane.
Whenever you say for whatever reason, it does not normally end up well for you, does it? Maybe now we know why
whatever
he has
reason.
Zero touch. I mean, zero.
For whatever reason, I
zero.
Didn't have a touchdown.
You know what, though? He's happy.
I was just looking for a team to give me a chance. Just being able to show my talent, showing how I work, and whatever happens is out of my control. But as long as I control what I can do, the rest will take care of itself.
Look, I said this on Monday. Jordan, to all you people that, Brian, who's a mile high in Denver right now.
For whatever reason, I haven't caught a touchdown pass.
I mean, Ty Montgomery and Taysom aren't on the same page. Jameis Winston to Little Jordan. I like Little Jordan, but it's Little Jordan who wasn't drafted, who had come in on special teams at the block as a receiver, and it's, you know, you saw him try to make the play on the Winston pass. And Deuce McAllister said in analysis on Fox 8 with Fazand and, Juan Kincaid, that the route, he needs to run that route closer to the sideline. There's a safety coming on top. If Winston could have put it in a different spot, but a lot of it is where the route, he ran it too wide. Or too narrow, if that makes any sense. If he's closer to the sideline, there's more field, there's more places where the ball can be put. But again, that's an experienced receiver. And I know Maddie doesn't want to hear it, and some of you guys don't want to hear it. That's why OTA and minicamp matters. They might have run that play a few times in practice against the defender. Maybe they did it by themselves on the field. But you can't tell me having three practices a week times four isn't helping you more than it would hurt you. Yes, there's risk of injury. Yes, there's risk of, I understand, but it's instances like that. You don't believe me? Coach just went and signed Kevin White, who has zero touchdowns, but he has experience. Because, again, he saw the receiver play as well. I think there's promise, but there's also reasons. Ty Montgomery didn't want to draft. Ty Montgomery's a running back. They're making him as a receiver. That's the crew, by the way, that's going into the Packers, Panthers, Patriots, Giants. That's why I said 6-7. Hour 2 in the books. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.